Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Marine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hard for both the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual landlady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
Welcome to the first N4G Radio for 2009.
It's a new year up in this house.
Up in this hizzle?
Yeah.
Oh, shizzle.
And we have a very small room today.
It's a light crew today.
It's like the light sauce.
We're like the light version of N4G Podcast Radio.
I know.
We're diet N4G Radio.
Because we have Swollen Wolverine.
Yeah.
Who's out with the sickness.
Who's out because he got stung by a 10-foot tall bee, apparently.
And then we have the boogeyman who something came up.
Yeah, he didn't say what.
Something came up.
Our hope is that his head is not in a freezer somewhere.
That would be good. Or in somebody's bed.
Or on a stick somewhere.
Yeah, on a stake.
There are various places his head could be.
And I hope that it's on his shoulders.
I hope that it's attached to his neck and somewhere pleasant.
Yes.
That would be healthy.
Yes.
But with us we have Gambus, the Con.
Hello, 2009. It's a new year. It's a new age of possibilities.
It's a new age of heroes.
Yes.
But it'll probably just be the same old shit it is every week.
Probably.
Exactly.
Exactamundo.
Yes.
Also with the Wombat Run Wombo.
Nice. I like that. You put a slightly Indian slant on my name.
Really, did I?
Yeah.
I sound like a Simpsons character over here.
But hey, how's it going? That's sort of awkward.
Welcome back.
Hi.
Welcome
Hi there. Back. Hi,
we are the kings
I'm Ryan.
Of awkwardity.
I feel like it's like a blind date or something. Hi, I'm Ryan.
I like long walks on the beach.
Nice to meet you.
I like sunsets.
Is that your natural hair color?
Indeed it is. It's kind of a putrid green.
Man.
But it's been a couple weeks since we had a show. So there's probably been some fondling going on, maybe.
There has been.
Yeah, there has been. There's been fondling amidst.
Chopping fondling.
Yes.
Chopping fondling.
All right, so who's going to start?
Let's start with Gambus Con. He's got a list.
I got a list,
Man,
and I've been checking it twice.
Were you naughty or nice?
Hey, that rhymed.
Thank you.
Well, I think I was nice because Santa was good to me this year.
Santa was good to you?
Yes. Christmas was fantastic.
Did you run down in your feety pajamas?
Yes.
Did they have Winnie the Pooh on the front of them?
No. Oh. They had bunny heads.
They have Pooh on the back.
Man.
Wow.
Terrible
you're not supposed
joke.
To say that.
That's gross.
Oh, my God. But I've had an epic fondling for the past couple weeks.
I'm glad somebody did.
Yeah.
It's epic. So epic that I had to write a book about it.
It's epic in nature.
1492. There was this one game that I played. It was quite good. It was
this is quickly becoming Weird Voice Day on N4G Podcast Radio. I'm just going to warn everybody ahead of time.
It's a cold, rainy morning. You know, it's time for funny voices.
Yeah, if you want to hear all the funny voices, check out our outtake at the end of this show.
Wow, a commercial for the outtake.
Yeah, a commercial for the outtake.
This episode of N4G Radio is brought to you by Outtake.
By the outtake.
Brought to you by our outtakes, because most of the time they're twice as funny as the show itself.
Indeed.
Exactly. Let me see where to begin.
Probably with some games.
Alrighty then. Okay.
Let me clear my throat.
Yes.
Can't stop. Won't stop.
For the PSP, the PlayStation Portable,
it always cracks me up when you immediately follow it up with PlayStation Portable.
Yeah, for the PlayStation Portable.
For those uninitiated.
I was playing
on my Nintendo dual screen today.
I received and played a little bit of Star Ocean, The First Departure.
And?
Is it British?
Yeah. And it's good. It's good.
There you have it. Gambiscon's one-word review.
It's not fantastic. It's not, oh my God, it's so awesome. It's good.
Respectable.
Yes. It's got a really cool anime intro in the beginning of it, and I was like, cool, this is awesome. I'm into the Japanese animation thing.
You?
Yes.
Into the Japanese anime?
Wait, yeah, hold on.
Who would have ever thought?
Did you get body snatched?
And then I started playing the game, and granted, for about the first 20 minutes of it, it's all text and talking and stuff. And then I got to fight some bandits.
Uh-oh.
They're like butt bandits.
No, they were just bandits. They were there to steal money.
I believe they were there to steal your butt. They were butt bandits.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe in the uncut version.
I don't know.
It's
Square Enix.
Square Enix.
Not Sega.
But I got to play some of it. You know, it's fun. You know, it's got basically the same battle system as Star Ocean 2 for the original PlayStation.
Legend Boogaloo.
And what's cool about this version of Star Ocean is that it was originally a Super Famicom game, a.k.a. Super Nintendo, but since it was only released in Japan, it's Super Famicom. So it's a Super Famicom game that was completely redone in 3D graphics and released for the PlayStation Portable, and it looks fantastic. It looks beautiful. And the music is really good. The music is kind of like a mixture of the whimsical fantasy-type music, but with an underlining, like, galactic theme, hence the space traveling plot mechanic of Star Ocean games. So I'm liking that. And interesting note, the actual team that developed Star Ocean, it's a team called Team Wolf. Not Teen Wolf. I knew that was coming. Not Team Wolf. Team Wolf. They were the ones who originally developed Star Ocean, and they went on to make the Tales series.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then they went on doing the modern-day Shin Megami Tensei games. So a lot of games I've played over the past several months, they've had their hand in.
Their furry, long-nailed hand.
Yes. And in Japan, evidently, the Star Ocean and the Tales series are almost looked at as cousins.
Are they kissing cousins?
Perhaps, because it is over in Japan.
It's true.
Yeah.
Never know about them.
You never know.
As long as it's not first cousins.
I thought you were going to say furry cousins. I thought we were still on the Teen Wolf thing.
But,
well, there's that.
But a segue into that, on the PS2, I played some more Persona 4. And this game is awesome. One of the best RPGs I've played this generation, and it isn't even this current gen game. It's a last gen game, but it's a brand new game. It came out like a month and a half ago. And I'm sorry, it definitely will make it into my top 10 games of the year, even though it's a PS2 game.
Nothing wrong with that. But God of War 2 made it into my top 10 games last year, and it was a PS2 game.
And if I had award for some of the best characters, some of the best characters I've played came from this game too. So it's not just because, you know, I'm an RPG fanboy that I like this game. Yeah, but Persona 4 is a fantastic game for a PS2. Now on to the Nintendo DS.
Dual screen.
Which I've been playing a ton of lately. This is probably my most played system over the past couple weeks, or maybe even perhaps months.
Indeed.
Yes. Start things off with Chrono Trigger. RPG, one of the best RPGs ever made in the history of RPG gaming. Fantastic. The other game I've been playing a lot of is Disgaea DS. Strategy game.
Disgaea is a good game.
It is fun.
It's a good game.
I love the dark humor.
Yeah.
The dark humor is fantastic because essentially you're this prince kid, and basically you're in hell, or what they like to call the netherworld, but it's basically hell because there's zombies and demons and monsters and stuff.
That sounds like my dreams.
Yeah.
Wow.
Same here. But but it's like you know, it's one of those games where it's like, oh, it takes place in hell. Well, ain't that sweet? Because everything looks all cute. Like, oh, like I am a zombie demon, but he's got big anime eyes, and
right.
he looks like a furry creature, and he, you know, looks like a cartoon. It's like, oh, ain't that cute? You know,
I never said hell and cute in the same sentence.
But thing is, with Disgaea, it kind of. It's that awkwardness. It's got kind of an awkwardness about it because they do a lot of dark humor, and it is funny. It's a funny game.
And it has exploding penguins.
Indeed.
It's got yeah.
He's getting his own game.
Yes.
Which we'll have a preview up.
Yeah.
Yeah, see that?
Sweet.
That's see what we did there?
Ah, segue.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I've been playing a lot of Disgaea DS. It's really fun. Another game that I picked up because it was extremely cheap, and it was a brand new copy, is Legend of Kage Part 2. Picked it up for...
Legend of Cage?
Yeah. Some people referred to it as Legend of Cage back in the day, but... But it's Legend of Kage, and it's the sequel to a game that was made back in, like, I think it was, like, 87 or something like that for the... it came out for arcade and the original Nintendo.
Or Famicom, as we like to call it,
or the Famicom, yeah, and
the Nintendo Entertainment System,
yes,
NES,
exactly,
NES,
and
Captain N,
the Game Master.
That's a mega
the
game
ass master,
yeah. But Legend of Kage 2, it reminds me a lot of a mixture of Ninja Gaiden, the 2D original Ninja Gaiden, intermixed with Shinobi, the original 2D Shinobi games.
Shinobicus?
Yeah. And it's really cool because it's side-scrolling. It's 2D sprite-based graphics. And it's very fast. And you can jump really high and you shoot. You can throw... You can throw Chinese stars, and you can.
I imagine they're probably Japanese stars.
I was waiting. Yes. I missed that phrase Chinese stars because it's been, you know, brought down to shurikens now.
Yeah,
it's always shurikens.
Okay.
As a child, it was always I got Chinese stars.
I got Chinese stars.
Wow,
that was bad.
Did you guys really just break out the horribly stereotypical Chinese accent?
Thing is. That's how it was around here back in the 80s when we were little kids.
Never.
I never
make fun of that.
Back when I used to watch American Ninja starring Michael Dudikoff.
Yes, that brings back some memories.
That guy's name is almost as good as John Sununu.
Michael Dudikoff.
I think Michael Dudikoff wins.
We don't know. John Sununu is really fun to say.
It is. It rolls better.
It does roll.
But Michael Dudikoff, it looks cooler in print.
Lee Iacocca.
Yeah.
Oh.
Boutros Ghali.
I take you to Bermuda, Bahama.
But yeah, Legend of Kage 2, it's really cool because when you like jump on a wall, you can like wall grapple and then you can run straight up the wall. It's awesome. It's really cool. You're like running straight up.
Like Spider-Man.
Yeah. And you grab onto the ledge and jump over. And you jump really high and you fight with swords. And it's fun. It's a fun game. It reminds me of a really good, you know, mid to late 80s 2D game. But it's pretty sweet. And I only paid $10 for it.
Woot.
So woot woot to that. And then on the PlayStation 3.
PlayStation.
I downloaded a couple
you
of...
You are not ready.
Yes, indeed. I played a couple of games that you could download off the PSN network.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, I played Super Stardust HD.
There you go.
Which is pretty fun. I downloaded the full version of it, you know. I haven't gotten any trophies yet. I came really close to getting the trophy for beating the first planet, but I was pressed for time. I had to leave, and just the thought of having to leave, you know, it deterred my concentration. So I got killed by the boss at the end of the first planet stage.
Snap.
But it's a fantastic game if you got HD system, an HD television like most people who have PS3s do. It looks really nice. The other game I downloaded is a game called Zulgna X. It looks like, when you look at the words, it looks like it says Soldier X, but it's like misspelled.
Soldner?
Yeah.
S-O-L-D-N-E-R, correct?
Yeah, and but when you're playing it, they pronounce it with a Z. Zulgna X!
Did I actually say it like that? Like, glacial four twist?
Actually, no.
You just made that up.
It was a woman that said it.
Well, I hope she didn't sound like that.
Yeah.
A manly woman.
I'm trying to do my stereotypical Russian meets German accent, because I don't know if it's Russian or German. I think it's German, because it has like another word after it. It's got some word called like Heimenschgner or something like that after the Zulgner.
Do you have it written down?
If I had it written down, I'd probably even mispronounce it even worse. But this is a side-scrolling shooter game.
Eins fein trein.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of R-Type, which is a good thing.
R-Tizzle.
Or crap.
I hope it doesn't remind
you of crap.
What's the side-scrolling game for Xbox Live? The one that looks really awesome. I forgot the
Omega
name.
Omega 5.
Omega 5. It reminds me
a
lot.
I just said the Glacial Fortress.
Yes, the Glacial Fortress.
Like Elmer Fudd over here or something.
Oh, the Glacial Fortress.
I'm hunting rabbits in the Glacial Fortress.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of that game. And it also reminds me a lot of R-Type. Side-scrolling 2D shooter with three-dimensional graphics, and it is awesome. I have only one problem with the game, and that is the amount of damage that the boss takes at the end of the stages. I'm talking like 5 minutes worth of straight-up shooting at the boss.
Straight up, now tell me.
Do you really want to love me forever?
Oh, oh, oh.
Wow.
That was crazy.
That's right. We just broke into Paul Abdul podcast.
Snap.
Straight up.
That'll teach you to listen to our show.
Yeah. But,
Dirty, dirty hooker.
What? What? Did you just call Paul Abdul dirty, dirty hooker?
No, I was referring to Jason.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Well, that's good.
That's what? Okay, then.
But, yeah, Zulgna X is...
I love how I can't say it without the accent.
Zulgna X.
Zulgna X is a good game. If you're into side-scrolling shooters, it's fantastic.
Indeed.
You can't go wrong. And it's $10 now on the PlayStation Network.
Did you buy these with your credit card? Did you get like a network card?
I got a gift card for Blockbuster, and I use that. I used a card to buy another card, so I could download stuff.
Now, did they charge you tax?
Yeah, they did. Hmm. I know at GameStop they don't.
No, I meant on the PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
Oh, sucks.
I had a couple bucks left over from like the last couple times I bought.
So you got double taxed, basically. You got taxed for the card, and then you got taxed for the games.
Yeah, but I only had to pay like a few bucks.
That's still a few bucks too much for me.
Yeah, I know.
I hate that because like if I go out and buy a $20 card, I can't buy two games.
Yeah, exactly.
And that sucks.
It does
because
suck.
That deters me from buying the cards because there's a lot of stuff I want.
Yeah, you have to buy two cards to buy two games.
Yeah, exactly.
It sucks.
And then you get all that leftover money.
Yeah. But another game I played, this is real brief. I played a demo of a game I've already talked about several months ago. I played the demo for the Naruto, what is it, Ninja Storm game for PS3.
Oh, Ultimate Ninja Storm? Yeah. I reviewed that. That game's really good.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to pick that up.
Do you play the Xbox one, too?
It's a different game.
Yeah, I know, but I'm asking if you played it.
I got the original Rise of the Ninja, yeah.
There's a new one, the Broken Bond.
Yeah, it's the follow-up. I want to get that one, too, but I feel that I would have to complete the first one to really play the second one. Well, of course, you know. Who knows?
I don't know. It's Ubisoft.
Yeah. Then on Xbox 360.
Oh, snap. I thought it broke. You hadn't talked about it yet.
Played a little bit of Street Fighter HD, which is fun, like always. Street Fighter. Really anticipating Street Fighter 4.
So now let me ask around the room. What system are you buying it for?
See, that's the interesting question, and I have an interesting answer for that question, and that is I'm actually going to plan on buying both versions.
Now let me ask you a question. Why?
Because half of my friends that I know will play the game are on 360, and half of my friends who are going to play the game are on PS3.
I haven't decided yet. I haven't made the decision yet.
See, there's a lot of things like swinging me both ways. Like the PS3 version has the cooler figure,
right?
And it comes with a Blu-ray,
right?
And that's huge for me.
The PS3 has the cooler figure. Which figure is that?
Ryu.
Yeah.
And 360 gets Sea Viper.
Yeah. But then the 360 version has Xbox Live and achievements.
Right.
So.
That's my eternal struggle right now. Yeah. And the one thing that's leaning me towards the PS3 is the controller. So yeah. I'm thinking I'll probably end up with it on PS3. It's got trophies though, right?
I don't really be
able to earn something.
I don't really care about trophies because I haven't been there since, you know, it's not implemented into every game for me.
Well,
so.
if some of you want to get on PS3, that might just lead me over to the PS3 version.
I'm having a huge dilemma with this game and it sucks because I don't know what to do.
I think I'm going to buy it on, I think I'm going to end up buying it on PS3.
Well, if you do, I might. I don't know. It depends. Okay, let me see. Another game that I got from Santa this year.
Santa Claus?
Prince of Persia for 360.
Nice.
No, I'm interested now that you've had time to play it.
I like it.
Do you think you'll still like it 12 hours in?
I don't know.
Because it doesn't change.
Yeah.
I will tell you that.
See, There's two weaknesses to this game. Besides that giant gaseous monster,
that was a weakness to the show.
That was this show's weakness right there. But
hit it for massive damage.
Yeah. The two things that about Prince of Persia that you know I might find fault with is I don't like fighting monsters. I don't like the combat.
Really? Yeah. I like the combat.
I thought it was fun. It's not very varied,
no.
But it's fun.
Yeah. To me, it just doesn't flow. I mean, it flows cinematically when you're watching it, but to me, it didn't flow on a gameplay controller level.
It's not built as a hack and slash. It's built more of a, you know, aesthetic fighter.
I think a better control scheme would have been more or less like a Zelda-esque control scheme where you would lock on to the enemy and then you'd have an evade button where you can like evade the creature, and then you could have the attack buttons, and then you could, you know, there'd be a jump button, evade button, attack button, and you'd be locked on to an enemy. I think that would have been a little bit more fluid. I mean, it might not have looked as cool on a cinematic level, but I think it would have been a little bit better on a gameplay level.
Well, the only thing you're missing out of what you just said was a jump button. There's an evade button. You lock onto the enemy, and there's attack buttons.
Yeah, but I mean, it didn't flow as well as like a Zelda-esque game. I think they should have done it like more of a straight up 3D Zelda battle system for the encounters, because the encounters are almost like a separate game, because it's basically you jump into an area or a platform where there's an enemy, and it kind of almost goes into, okay, now you're fighting an enemy type mode. It's not organically implemented into the stage layout as like a, I don't know, like a regular hack and slash or something. But that's pretty much my only beef with the game, and it's repetitive. It's basically...
I hope you like cleansing the fertile grounds.
Yes. If you want to cleanse the grounds,
That's all you're going to do.
This is the game for you. And I will say this. What I really, 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 really enjoy about this game is the platforming and traversing the levels.
Yeah, I do enjoy the platforming.
Yes. Like running along the walls, grabbing onto these rings that are along the walls, jumping off that, running along this wall, jumping off that wall, rappelling off that wall, running straight up the wall to get to this wall, sliding down the platform, jumping off the platform. It is fantastic when it comes to the platforming and traversing of the level. When I was playing this game, because you know the prince in this game, he has a like a metal claw, and he can slide down walls and grapple walls. I was thinking to myself, you know what this game really reminds me of? It reminds me of the old 1987 arcade game Strider, which is one of my favorite arcade games of all time. Strider was a game made by Capcom. And there's a rumor that they're making a new one now because of, you know, the popularity of, you know, bringing old franchises back, you know, in 3D graphics. So I'm hoping they take a look at Prince of Persia as a way of, like, kind of getting into their mind. Like a control scheme for the new Strider game could be very much like basically a futuristic Prince of Persia where you're still running along walls, jumping off walls. You know, grappling, running up walls, but maybe, you know, add more acrobatic flair to it, like doing backflips or the Legend of Kage, the game I played for DS, where you can just like run up straight up a wall. That would be awesome. But have more mechanical atmosphere to a Strider version of this game, like revolving gears, like you'd jump onto a gear that's revolving and it'd be like connected to another gear, so you'd have to use some kind of mechanical architectural design thought into the actual gameplay mechanic. So I'm just geeking out, man. I'm just geeking out about this moment because Prince of Persia really reminds me of Strider, but like a flawed Strider if they did it in 3D. So I'm thinking, if anybody from Capcom's listening, which they're probably not, but if they are, and they're listening to me talking about Prince of Persia and Strider all in the same time, then I'll say, you know, it'd be awesome to use the traversing the terrain as like a template for the new Strider. But the combat, they can keep the combat. Don't do the combat.
That's all right.
Keep it.
That's all right. Keep it.
And the last game I played is the game that we all played on New Year's Eve, and that is Rock Band.
The Rock Band.
Which I will at some point tonight or tomorrow post pictures from our N4G New Year's podcast, Rockin' Eve.
Sans the KW.
Yeah,
he was
yeah,
not there.
Unfortunately, he was not present, but yeah. I will post pictures of myself and Zero and Gambus and the Boogeyman rocking out on New Year's. I'll either put them in the podcast thread tomorrow, or I'll make a new thread for him tonight.
Rocking around the clock tonight.
And by tonight, I mean Sunday, and by tomorrow, I mean Monday.
You broke the fourth wall.
I know, but it was necessary in this game.
That wall is always broken.
That wall is crazy.
Yeah.
So now we move on to the Wombat.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey.
It's good. How are you?
I'm fantabulous.
Yeah, my Fondling's very boring.
Yeah, mine too.
I played the same games, basically, with a couple exceptions. I played Fallout and accidentally beat it because I didn't realize the mission I was on was the last mission. I had a suspicion that it was, but luckily I saved at a good point, so I was easily able to go back after beating it and reload my old save so I can finish some of the missions that I didn't finish up. I had 42 hours in, I think. And like I said, I still got stuff to do. So, I played, what else did I play? I played some more Resistance on PS3. I played some of the competitive multiplayer and had a lot of fun with that, especially once I figured out the sniper rifle. I had a lot of fun with that. I played some more Little Big Planet, and that game is awesome as always. I played... What else did I play? I'm trying to save some things for last. I played Rock Band, obviously. It was very Rock Band-filled couple weeks for me.
Yeah, I played a lot of Rock Band.
And it's funny because we were I went out to dinner with a bunch of my friends last night, and most of them are not what you would refer to as hardcore gamers. But the topic of Guitar Hero and Rock Band came up at the table, and everybody was talking about how much they love playing it on their Wiis. I said, you know, I feel like if we're on a graph and geek is a line that's going up and to the right and cool is a line that's going up and to the left, I feel like I've been up here on the geek line just waiting for the cool line to catch up for a long time. And now I finally feel like with Guitar Hero and Rock Band that we're kind of getting there, that kind of cool is intersecting with the geek line. And so it makes me if you would have 2 years ago, if people had been talking about a party and you said, yeah, I'll bring my plastic instruments and I'll bring my hard drive over so we can plug it in so you can play the stuff that I downloaded, people would have looked at you like, are you kidding me? Who invited this guy? But now you say something like that, and instantly people who don't even care about games or geek culture are like, yeah, that's great. Bring it. You know, that way we can have more instruments to play and more songs to play. I'm like, so I feel like the cool people are finally catching up to us geeks. I feel like we're finally getting there, which means we need to keep striving so we can get further away from them so they can come back up again.
You know, the interesting thing is we as geeks, we've been ridiculed and made fun of our whole lives, you know. But we're really just ahead of the curve,
yeah,
man.
That's what I said last night. Is that they were saying, how do you have how do you know so much about this? And I'm like, look, I've been a geek for 27 years. I'm like, and I've been waiting on the rest of you guys to catch up. I said,
yeah,
you know, we've
exactly.
been getting made fun of for 27 years. And now it's all kind of paying off because now we're the ones that have the information that you want. How's
exactly.
that make you feel?
Yeah.
So, but I really did feel like we kind of the two competing curves kind of met at that moment. It's a paradox.
Damn it, Harmonix, what have you done?
Yeah, that's the interesting dilemma with Guitar Hero and Rock Band, is that it's like
between the Wii, Guitar Hero, and Rock Band, gaming has become cool, which is sort of what we've wanted all along, but it's still like. It's weird because gamers have been saying for 20 years that they want gaming to be accepted as mainstream, and now that it is, we hate it. We're like, fuck you, Wii.
Fuck you, Wii.
Casual people playing video games. This is ours. When 10 years ago, we were like, please, everybody play games. Please, everybody.
Fuck you, Wii.
Yeah.
Now that the industry is huge and everybody loves us, we hate it. I think gamer geeks are just built to want to be different, which is good. But
that's why
we want to be social outcasts.
We want to be always ahead of the curve.
Indeed.
We don't want to be the curve. We want to be ahead of it.
Right.
So we're always going to be ridiculed on some level, and we're always going to feel a little bit out of the cool kids' conversations.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, no kidding.
There was a lot of Rock Band playing this week. I'm trying to think. I tried to play. I had a real... I'm going to say this word, and I'm not embarrassed by it. I had a real hankering to play Marvel vs. Capcom 2. So I popped out the Xbox copy and tried to put it in my 360.
Uh-oh.
And was treated with the most disastrous train wreck of emulation I've ever seen in my entire life. The backwards compatibility on that game is terrible.
It is.
The sprites all look like they're in seizure. It's just terrible. So if you have Marvel vs. Capcom 2 on the Xbox, don't try and play it backwards compatible. The backgrounds look fantastic, but the sprites are terrible.
Yeah.
The music, however, is still delightful.
take it for a ride.
So I did. I played one match of that and was just done.
That was more than enough.
Yeah, and then I played. After that, I was in a fighting game mood, obviously. So I played some more Mortal Kombat versus DC Online. I played some. It was very tough. I played one ranked match. And then it was very hard for me to actually, like, do the quick match thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it kept telling me that it couldn't find anybody for me to play against.
Insert so, joke about how nobody bought it.
Yeah. So I, and the one ranked match I played against was just the most jank ass. I was beating the crap out of this guy, and then he became Cheapy Cheeperson, which just drives me up a wall. So I ended up losing the one ranked match that I played. And then I went into one of their lobby rooms, and I love the lobby system. It's set up to where you pick the lobby you want to go into, and then there's just a list of people. And you can challenge whoever you want, or you can wait for somebody to challenge you. So I had a lot of fun with that. I ended up, I think my overall record is like 6-4 now or something. But it was pretty awesome because... I was playing this way, and I'm not good at Mortal Kombat versus DC. I'm going to put that out there right now. I'm not all that great at it. But I was playing this one guy, and he was the Flash, who is the cheapest character in the game. And, we were playing, and I was just kind of messing around the first round because I was trying to figure out, some moves, and I was trying to get this one combo to work right. And so I got beat the first round. Well, I didn't have my headset on, but I can hear the guy talking through my TV speakers. And he's Captain Chocolate Milk Kid is basically what he sounded like. And he's like, man, you're terrible. You suck at this game. You might as well just turn it off. I don't even know why you own this game. You ought to just trade it back in at GameStop. I'm like, all right, that's fine. We can play that game. And I demolished him the next round. And
yes.
The round after that, I was demolishing him again, and he gets down to about less than a quarter of a bar of health and disconnects from the game. That is my biggest online pet peeve. I will listen to people cursing and talking about my mom. I will listen to 13-year-old kids screaming, people blaring their music. I will deal with people being sore losers, and I will deal with people being sore winners. But if you disconnect from a game, you are scum of the earth as it relates to online gaming, as far as I'm concerned. I never give people negative feedback unless they disconnect.
Yeah, that sucks.
So, I mean, that is the one offense that I do not take lightly in online gaming. So, not that anybody on my friends list would ever do this, but if you're ever playing a game with me, and you're losing, and you disconnect, if it's an accident, make sure you send me a message and say it was an accident, because I will remove you from my friends list if you disconnect from a game. That is my biggest pet peeve. But anyway, that was a long story to just say that I played Mortal Kombat.
But it was a good story.
So, and then I played... Kind of. And then I played the two new games that I played this week. Where I finally got my copy of Ultimate Band for the Wii. And you know what? It's not bad. It's if you've got kids that love the idea of Guitar Hero but have trouble with it because it's too complicated for them, or if they just, you know, if they kind of want their own version of Guitar Hero, Ultimate Band is a pretty good choice, because it's got... instead of obviously hitting the right colored buttons at the right time, there's certain motions that you have to do at the right time.
Yeah.
So like it might tell you, you might have to, if you're playing the guitar, for instance, you might have to down strum. So you just flick the Wii remote down. Or you might have to do this thing called the windmill where you actually have to spin the Wii remote around as many times as it tells you to before the note's over. There's two different like... bars of music. So if the note's coming on the top bar, you just strum down. If it's coming on the bottom bar, you have to hold Z and strum down. And then there's a couple other motions too. There's a couple places where you have to like clap your hands together like you're clapping. And, you know, it's all very simplistic, and to people like us, like hardcore gamers who play a lot of Guitar Hero or Rock Band, it's going to seem very, very simplistic. But for people who don't really obsess over that and play on hard or expert, or for kids, it's a pretty good option. The songs are all pretty, I mean, it's a pretty good song selection. They're all covers, and most of them are not very good covers. but, you know, if you've got, you know, I'd say 10 to 12 or 13-year-old kids, Ultimate Band's a great choice if you've got a Wii and they like music games. It'll be a good pickup for them. I also played, I got my copy finally of Destroy All Humans, Path of the Furon. And I'm torn because I'm a huge fan of the Destroy All Humans series overall. I loved the first two. Big Willy Unleashed was awful. Path of the Furon is somewhere in between. It's definitely not as bad as Big Willy Unleashed was. But it's not as good as the first two.
No.
The gameplay, the actual gameplay mechanics are fine. Aiming and shooting is fine. Controlling Crypto is fine. Controlling the ship is fine. If you've played any of the games before, you'll immediately pick it up. If you've played any third-person shooter ever, you'll be able to pick it up shortly thereafter. The humor is there still, and some of it is very funny, but most of it just doesn't really hit the mark like it did in the first one. There's some funny, you know, obviously the theme of Destroy All Humans is that each one takes place in a different decade. Path of the Furon takes place in the 70s. And there's some funny stuff. There's a parody of Sonny and Cher and Greg Allman that you kind of run into early on in the game. And there's some other, you know, some quirks where, you know, the aliens are trying to speak in the slang of the time period. And, you know, obviously it's they're not that good at it. But it just doesn't. Some of the jokes seem very well-meaning, and they just come up short of the funny mark.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the gameplay overall is fun. My intention was to, you know, sit down and give the game a chance because I liked the series and because, you know, it was a $40 game. And I came away actually having quite a bit of fun with the game.
There's a lot of fun to
you
be
just
had.
You just have to make sure that you go into it knowing that graphically – it's not good. It looks like a mid to end of the cycle Xbox One game in most places. There are some places when it looks like a next-gen game. There are some effects that you'll see every now and then that look really good.
Yeah.
But for every effect that you see that looks good, that looks like it sort of belongs on the 360, there's an insane amount of pop-in. And then you'll see another effect that looks really good, and then you'll blow up a building, and pieces of it will still be stuck in midair. So it's very disappointing from a technical standpoint.
Yeah.
And it's got the old sort of PS2 problem, whereas if you look far in the distance, it looks like you're looking at just like a backdrop, like like if you were in a motion picture studio and. When you're watching it, it looks like they're, you know, riding through the desert or whatever. But if you're on studio, all you see is a big flat picture of the desert, and that's kind of what it is. It's got in the background. But, I mean, overall, I'd say probably if you really liked the first two, the game's only $40. It's definitely worth a rent if you liked the first two. Now, if you don't really care about the Destroy All Humans series, this one's not going to change your mind.
Nope.
But it's definitely worth a rent if you like the series. You know, it's probably worth a buy once it gets a little cheaper if you really like the series. But overall, I'm pretty disappointed because I was expecting and hoping that they would come out for the next gen and just put together an awesome game that, you know, lived up to the first two. But you know, overall, it's slightly above average, I'd say, in terms of gameplay, and below average for the gen in terms of graphics and technical issues.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Yeah, it's definitely ugly. No one can accuse it of being attractive. And I don't know. The other problem I have with it is it really does feel like an Xbox game.
Yeah, it does.
Even though it looks pretty sometimes, it feels overall like an Xbox game. The physics feel like an Xbox game. The cars, when they're driving, every now and then you'll freak them out and they'll start trying to drive really fast. And it reminds me of the original Grand Theft Auto 3 on PS2, where cars would like drive over top of each other when they were trying to get out of the way. And cars would glitch into poles and stuff. So it's got, it's definitely got its fair share of problems. But if you like the series, it's worth the rent. If you don't like the series, pass on it. And other than that, the only thing I've really played this week is sort of bite-sized games on my iPhone, which is slowly turning into my main portable gaming device. But other than that, I think that pretty much wraps it up for the week. So, and I'm saying this, as I say every week, but I legitimately mean it this time, and I hold myself personally responsible if it doesn't happen. I am buying Valkyria Chronicles this week because I now have stuff to trade in towards Valkyria Chronicles. So I'm buying it this week. So I promise you, and I hold myself personally accountable for this, I will slap myself in the face next week on air if I haven't bought it yet. I'm buying it this week. So there you go. And that's pretty much all my future fondling.
Exciting Sweet. Times.
Yeah. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, mine's a little worse, but it's all good.
Nice.
But you were out of town.
I was out of town for like 6 days. while I was out of town, I played Rock Band. And then, of course, I played Rock Band on New Year's Eve, so I played a lot of Rock Band, as always. When I got back, I didn't really feel like getting back into anything. So I continued to play more Saints Row. I'm still going around trying to finish up the activities. I got like 30 hours in that game now.
Wow.
And I'm still going back to it, like constantly, even after I beat it, because I beat it. I actually beat it since the last show, and I'm still playing it. So I really love that game. I finally installed Fallout.
Nice.
I figured it was time to start it. You know, and I started playing it, and I'm doing the Blood Ties quest.
Yeah.
Is all of the quests talk to somebody, go find something, talk to somebody, go find something else?
No.
Okay, because that's really starting to get on my nerves.
No. That's, all of the quests in the game involve talking to somebody initially. But
well,
they
I can
all,
understand that.
I mean, they all have very different objectives. There are quests that ask you to kill certain people. There are quests that ask you to find certain things in the environment. But most of the quests actually in the game are very, innovative, especially in the way that not only in the actual things that you're doing, but in the concept of there are so many different ways to accomplish the end goal of the quest and to actually finish the quest. So, no, they're not all, go here, talk to this guy, go here, talk to that guy, go here, talk to that
okay,
guy.
Okay, because that would get real old to me fast, because you go somewhere and he tells you to go somewhere else, and you can't fast travel there, so you got to walk.
Right.
Because you haven't been there yet. Right. And that, like, I was doing the quest, and you go down to the river, and that city is up on the bridge, and I go up there and I talk to the guy, he's like, go check on everybody in the houses.
Right.
So I go and I look in everybody in the house, the last people are dead.
Right.
And the people who are dead are the one I need to deliver the letter to.
Right.
I'm like, great. So I go back down and talk to him. He's like, oh, they hang out down by the river. So I go down to the river, waited a whole day. Nothing happened. I went back up and talked to him. And then he mentions that they're up to the northeast.
Yeah, he'll mention that the first time, too, if you dig enough.
All right. Because I was like, because he keeps telling me they're down by the river. And I put the quest marker on it, and it's telling me to go in the river.
Right.
And I'm sitting in the river, like, waiting.
Yeah, he'll tell
Nobody
you.
Nobody shows up.
He'll tell you three different places that they can possibly be. And if you do the quest the way it's supposed to be done, you're supposed to, you know, you'll investigate them all or whatever. They're always in the same place. Mm. So, but it's, I guess, see, the other thing about Fallout is if you don't get into the actual dialogue and the story behind the characters, you're not going to like the game. Because it's a very character-driven game, and it's a very decision and dialogue-oriented game, too. So if you don't really get into that, you're probably not going to get into the game.
I think my big thing with that is like the reason why I liked it in Mass Effect is that, and I understand the immersion factor of your character not talking.
Right.
But in Mass Effect, my character talked.
Right.
So I felt like they were a person.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas in Fallout, I feel like I'm just a, just an inanimate object. I don't feel like a person. I have not felt like a person the whole time I've played the game.
You know, I feel the same way that you feel about Fallout. With Mass Effect, at least you feel like you're controlling, a lead character. In Fallout, it's like you're like a mute.
Like it's, and I understand that because it's supposed to represent you.
Right.
It's supposed to be you, and that's fine for most occasions. But I think Mass Effect showed me that I like to be somebody else.
Most of what you'll get out of your character in Fallout will come from the amount of gravity that you place on the decisions that your character makes in the game. Every quest has not just a good way and a bad way to do it, but it's got, you know, several other options that are maybe partially good, maybe partially bad. It's got, you know, a ton of little decisions that you can make, and that's where most of your character development will come and fall out. You kind of have to make it on your own. It's not right out there like it is in Mass Effect.
Yeah.
So, and I loved Mass Effect. Mass Effect was my number one game of last year. But I actually like in Fallout the fact that it really does feel, by the end of the game, you really do feel like you have not only shaped your character, but you've shaped the entire wasteland, sort of like every interaction that you've had with somebody has shaped the wasteland in some way, based on the decisions that you've made.
Well, it may change the more I play it, and I do intend to go back and play it some more. I do have to say that when I went to Springvale and the school that was there, when I walked in the school, that might have been the creepiest thing I've ever done. Because you walk in, it's like pitch black, and you hear the ghouls screaming and running around upstairs.
There's a lot of moments like that.
Yeah, and that I had to leave. Because I was like looking around, I'm like, do I have a flashlight? And I'm like, no, I don't have a flashlight. I'm like, so I walked upstairs and a ghoul popped out.
You do have a flashlight.
I couldn't find it.
If you it's not in your inventory. Your Pip-Boy that's on your arm,
mm-hmm.
if you hold, you know, if you hit B, it pulls up your Pip-Boy.
Yeah.
If you hold B, it turns on the flashlight on your Pip-Boy.
Oh.
And if you hold B, it turns it off.
Goddamn too human. I wish it would tell me how to do shit.
Yeah.
Cause I'm in this school walking around, it's pitch black, and I hear these ghouls screaming upstairs, so I walk upstairs, I killed two of them, and I'm like, all right, I can't go any further.
Yeah.
So I gotta leave.
There's a really creepy place. It's in the... What is that? Southwest corner of the map. It's called the Dunwich Building.
Yeah, I've been in there.
Yeah, that's a pretty creepy place,
I went in
too.
There, too. There was a Raiders in there when I went in there. I killed, like, four of them, and then I left. I go in those buildings mostly looking for ammo because...
Well, this isn't the one with Raiders in it. This is filled with feral ghouls. But it's, like, the actual... There's no quest that tells you to go there. But when you walk in, you see all these, like, audio tapes sitting on a table. And you start picking them up, and as you go through the building, you start picking more of them more up. And it sort of follows this guy in his descent towards madness. But it's full, it's like five levels deep, and it's filled with feral ghouls.
I've been in the building, but I must be thinking of something else then.
You must be.
Because I did go in, because I do have that on my map. I've been down to the southwest corner, so.
But, it really, Fallout is really a game, like Oblivion, where your character is going to be as much as you put it. Like, you have to invest in the character mentally before it exists, whereas in Mass Effect, you're Commander Shepard. You're watching Commander Shepard. So.
No, I'll finish it and I'll play it. It just doesn't appeal to
hasn't
me
got
as,
you yet.
As much as everybody else's.
Yeah.
The rest of the stuff that I played, I tried to play Mercenaries again, and I just come to the realization that game is not any fun without somebody else. I mean, and that's just me saying that because it's, I guess Saints Row spoiled me as far as like an open world game goes because it can be played both ways, co-op or single player, and single player is not frustrating. Whereas in Mercenaries, and the same thing happened in Fallout, which I had to turn the game down on easy because I would walk and walk and, you know, I'm not used to the game not saving automatically, so I walked for like an hour, and didn't do anything, and then these guys came out and killed me, and I lost everything that I'd done, and that pissed me off. I'm like,
yeah,
it's just,
you got to make sure you save a lot.
Yeah, that agitated me. So when I was playing Mercenaries, it was the same thing. You go through this mission, and the missions are long in Mercenaries. And you go through these missions, and you do 45 minutes worth of work, and then you die.
Yeah.
And there's no checkpoint in the mission. Unlike in Saints Row, when you do a mission, once you get to a foothold in the mission, you get a checkpoint.
Right.
So you can retry from the checkpoint, where in Mercenaries, you can't.
Right.
So if you're playing co-op, at least, if you die, your partner can come over and revive you and all that stuff. So I didn't try the new expansion. I didn't even bother with it. I was just putting it back in to see if I could get into it again.
I didn't even know there was a new expansion.
Yeah, the blowing it up again.
Huh.
There's four new missions. I didn't even try those.
I need to play some more of that. I enjoyed that game. It's definitely flawed, but I enjoyed it.
I enjoy it, but I really wish that... I guess I wish it was easier.
Yeah.
Because it can be frustrating to do all that work and just lose it. Because, you know, I don't have a lot of time to play games.
Right.
So wasting 45 minutes, it's kind of shitty. And then the rest of the stuff I played was all... well, I did play more Little Big Planet. I got back on and got some... I got those errors. The 403 errors.
Did you?
Yeah, when I was trying to log in. And then when I got in, my character had a completely different outfit from the last time I played.
That's weird.
He looked like a gay stripper.
Nice.
I was like, what the hell happened to my sack? He's wearing a little bow tie and hot pants.
Nice.
Like, what the fuck?
A bow tie and hot pants.
So that's I put the kimono on with the Santa Claus beard and the
nice.
The so he looks like a Japanese sensei now.
Nice.
Running around. But I was playing some of the level. Have you played the Japanese roller coaster?
I don't think so.
That thing is awesome.
Is it?
That thing is awesome. There are some really cool levels out there now. The paintball gun's really cool.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, the paintball gun is really cool.
I didn't buy the Metal Gear expansion.
You don't have
yet.
To. If somebody used it in their level, you get to
really?
It in the level. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's really fun. You pick it up, and instead of like basically the R1 button becomes your fire button, so you can't grab anything while you're carrying it. So it kind of limits it a little bit. Like, and I don't know how to drop it. So I was, like, playing this one level where a shark was chasing you through the whole level. A big fucking shark just chasing you through the level. And, like, there were sections where you needed to jump and grab. But it kept giving me a paintball gun. So I couldn't grab anything.
Hmm.
So I was just running through the level just shooting paintballs at everything.
So does the paintball add a lot to the gameplay?
I think if some people start using it more, I think it'll add a lot to
like
it.
Maybe as, like, a Contra-esque type of game?
That could be interesting.
Metal Slug.
Metal Slug. There could be a lot of interesting stuff going on there.
Metal Sack.
Metal Sack. No, but I got back into playing Little Big Planet, and I played some more Motor Storm, which I absolutely love that game. It's hard as shit, but I love that game. And then the rest of the stuff, I went back to playing Portal, the Still Alive Xbox Live arcade game. I played that a little bit, and man, like two or three levels and my brain is fried. Some of that stuff is just sick. Like trying to figure out how to get past certain areas in the level, and I love that game though.
Yeah.
And I tried to play Symphony of the Night, and I realized that I just suck at that game. It's been way too long since I beat it.
Symphony of the Night?
Yeah.
Did you start playing it from the beginning?
I had a save. I was about 10% through it, and I picked it up and started playing it again, and I couldn't figure out where to go, and I got frustrated.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Every time that I play one of those new Castlevania games, they're like the Metroidvania games. You have to play it from the beginning and stick with it till the end. That's how they're made. It's basically, you know, if you're like halfway through the game and you haven't played it in a long time, it's like, I don't know where the heck I am in the game, you know. So it's one of those games you have to start from the beginning and keep playing it until you beat it.
And that's another one of those games that has the old school rule that pisses me off. Like, I played it for like an hour,
uh-huh.
And I didn't save, and then I died. So all of it's wasted.
See, in those type of games, the Castlevania games, every time I pass a save room,
yeah,
I always save.
I was trained by by Morrowind and Oblivion to save like every which applies to Fallout to save like every 10 minutes. Like my brain just automatically, I'm playing and it's like, oh, I need to save. Oh, I need to save. Oh,
see, my brain has been spoiled by other games that save like every 5 minutes.
Auto save.
Yeah, they auto save consistently, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, when I'm playing Disgaea, I save in between every battle.
Yeah.
So.
Especially if I'm on a specific quest, I always try and save, like, if it's a building that has multiple floors or if it's, like, a quest that has multiple parts, as soon as I finish one part, save it and then start the next part. So
if they're going to make games where you have to save manually, they should give you a save button like they used to do on the PC.
Yeah.
Like, you hit F5 and it saves.
Yeah.
Like, the back button should be save. Like, you should just hit it and it goes, save.
That would be nice, yeah.
Of course, it's not going to work for every game because games have save points.
Right,
exactly. You have to save your game, but yeah. So I lost a lot of time.
Like a lot of your action games, it wouldn't be good to be able to save any point.
Right.
You got to have save points. Otherwise, you can like inch your way through anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I don't want to inch my way through things, but I don't want to also redo 45 minutes worth of work.
Exactly.
And that's frustrating to me. That makes me not want to play the game.
Yeah.
You know, I almost turned Fallout off after that happened. I got over there and these two raiders killed me, and it started me all the way back where I was when I turned the game on.
Yeah.
And I was like,
That would have peed me off as well.
My favorite quest, this is the next quest that you should do. Maybe not the next quest you should do, because it starts in downtown D.C., and you should probably level up before you go to downtown D.C. But the you gotta shoot him in the head quest is my favorite quest in the game. That was my favorite one. Did you do that one?
No, I'm not that far.
That's a good one.
I haven't played Fallout in a while. I need to get back into it.
Gotcha.
I'll see where it takes me once I play some more of it. We'll see. This week I have... Nothing.
Nothing?
I have Meteos Wars and Luminous. That I got for review. So, but
Luminous, you can't go wrong with that. That's a good game. I like it.
It's Luminous.
I got it on the 360, and I also downloaded the... There was a couple free packs on the 360, and there was one that you had to buy. I bought one of them, and then I downloaded the ones that were free. So, I like playing that game every once in a while. It's fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to just going back and actually playing some of the stuff I haven't played yet, which, I don't know. We'll see.
The thing is, part of my future fondling, I guess, would be Valkyria Chronicles, because I actually purchased the game.
Did you?
Yes, give I purchased it. I purchased there that game go. Like almost 2 weeks ago, and I still haven't played it yet.
Nice.
Because here's the thing, and the thing is, I installed the game, and after the half hour or so it took to install it, I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll play it later.
Gotcha.
Because you know how those PS3 games are. You know, you put them in, you're in the mood to play the game, and then you have to sit through an installation process for like a half hour. And then you're like, that was the time I was going to use to play the game. So I haven't played it yet, but it's installed. So
there you go.
Next time I put the disc in, it's good to go. So there you go.
And there it is.
And there it is.
There it is.
And even sans Killer Wolverine, we still have his dirt. He mailed it out last night, so we have some dirt.
Wolverine's a good man.
He is a good man.
Yeah.
And now, News for Gamers Internet Style Radio program proudly presents Killer Wolverine's Weekly Dirt, brought to you by New Year's Resolutions. Everybody makes them, and this year mine is to use some of the doubloons that I get every week and give them to charity. She's a dancer at the Can-Can Lounge, and she has dynamite cans. And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
There you go. Rare has released a title update for Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts that makes SDTV users able to finally read the friggin' game.
Hey!
Yes.
Last week's Xbox Live Arcade game was Puzzle Arcade. Did anybody play it? Actually,
no.
It was Merv Griffin's Crosswords, wasn't it?
I don't know. But
I didn't play either one.
I do know the past couple weeks hasn't been good to Xbox Arcade.
You think? Merv Griffin's crossword.
It's like, oh, it's after Christmas. You know, who cares what we put out now?
Hey, but nothing matches the caliber of the Doritos game.
Yeah.
IGN reports that the DSi has now sold more than 1 million units in Japan. Oh, no shit.
Yeah, I saw that one coming. Actually, I was expecting 5 million.
I think Nintendo could poop on a system and call it the DS Poop, and people would buy it.
They would.
It's ridiculous.
Thing is, since I'm a fiend, I'll probably pick up DSi when it comes out.
Yeah, you're part of the problem.
I know.
Voice chat has been re-added to Home, so now you can dance and sing at
there
the same
you go.
Time.
And converse.
Ooh, baby. I'm
and you
dance.
Can yell, oh, my God, there's a girl.
And everybody
there's
flocked
a girl.
To it.
Yeah. It's sad. It's
I think
so
you
sad.
Should. I think you should create a character in Home as a woman, and just walk around, and we should film it, and just laugh at how funny it will be.
Oh my God, that would be awesome!
It would be awesome.
Yes.
According to one Sony CEO, the PlayStation 3 will be ready to display in 3D starting sometime this year. I thought it was already in 4D.
Oh, see the 4D joke.
You see, if it was 4D. It would be a time-traveling machine.
You and your three dimensions.
Yes, three dimensions.
That's pretty cool, though. I'm looking forward to some 3D games.
That would be cool.
Do you know there's
cool.
Blu-rays in 3D? The Journey to the Center of the Earth comes with 3D glasses.
Does it?
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Did it work pretty well?
We watched for about, I guess it was about 10, 15 minutes, and it was kind of neat. Although it's just like all other 3D movies where like you're watching it and everything's blue and red.
Oh, it's blue and red.
Oh, yeah. So it's not the clear?
It's not crystal clear, no, but you gotta.
No, I mean the glasses.
No, the glasses aren't clear.
Because more modern day 3D glasses are clear glasses.
Yeah, this one's the blue and red, but it's still like when they were doing certain scenes, you could tell it was filmed for it because it looked like it was coming out of the TV.
Well, that's cool.
So it's a neat little thing. You don't have to watch it that way, but it's a neat little thing. Pixel Junk Monsters will be coming to the PSP this year.
Nice.
You know, I almost purchased that for PS3. I almost purchased that.
Almost. The first DLC for Rock Band this year will be Snow Patrol, Deep Purple, James Gang, and Jethro Tull. And that's already up. So there you go. There's a new update for SOCOM Confrontation that will fix a lot of the issues with the game, and it will be out early this year. It only took 4 months to make the game the way it should have been out of the box.
This is the truth.
It's sad. I might actually start playing it then.
There you go.
I might pick it up sometime in the future.
Yeah. Sony has announced the next version of their baseball franchise, MLB 09 The Show, revealing new features for the series, including the ability to record your own crowd chants.
Nice.
That is sweet.
I am excited about the new MLB
That is
the show.
Really,
and not,
really cool.
Not because of the crowd chants thing.
Oh, you just wanted to say, like, penis, whenever you come up to bat. There you go. We'll get to that one because that comes back around. Activision released 3 new songs for Guitar Hero World Tour, and I've not heard of any of them. Johnny by Direct, Degenerated by the Backyard Babies, and Por la Boca Vive el Pez by Fido and the Fidipaldis.
I have no idea what that is.
Standard pricing applies. In the latest Kotaku podcast, Valve writer Chet, was that Falashek?
Has
revealed that the studio will announce the first batch of Left 4 Dead DLC. He also said the announcement will be happening shortly since the news should have been out before Christmas, and for some reason the press release was postponed.
Dun, dun, dun. Gabe Newell ate it.
He did, with some ketchup. Tecmo's second largest shareholder is opposing the planned merger between Tecmo and Koei. He's probably like, no Dynasty Warriors, bitch. if you pre-order Killzone 2 at GameStop, you get exclusive access to the demo.
And isn't that cards? But I thought I read somewhere the card was supposed to be arriving in stores on January 5th.
I heard they were already floating around some places.
Really?
So.
Which would be today, if you're listening to the podcast on Monday.
Indeed. If you want to know who will be in King of Fighters 13, is it 12 or 13? I thought it was 13.
12,
I don't know. I lost count about 6 games
ago. If you remember anybody outside of, like, Terry Bogard and Geese. Geese Howard.
Yeah, Geese Howard.
You can go look up all the names over at Kotaku.
I'm really excited about the real...
Iori.
Yeah, Iori and Bloody Iori.
Yeah, I'm really excited because the game looks freaking awesome. The
game looks good, but when's it coming and where's it coming?
It'll probably be out sometime this year.
For the Wii?
No, I'm thinking it's going to be at least a next-gen system.
Your mom's coming out for the Wii.
Oh.
Yeah, his mom always comes out for the Wii.
Oh, God.
I was talking about your mom.
Oh, sweet. She does, too. A Reuters story from a couple of weeks ago reveals that since the first game was released in 2003, the Call of Duty series has sold 35 million copies.
Million.
That's a lot of World War II.
That is a lot.
That's a lot of rounds. I wonder how many rounds have been shot in the Call of Duty series.
Why don't you go look that up? Why don't you go wiki that?
Why don't you go spend some time on that?
Yeah.
According to Kotaku, Capcom is planning on releasing a slew of PSP and PS1 titles for download on the PSN.
Hopefully one of them is Mega Man Legends and Mega Man Legends 2.
You're the only one that wants that.
I don't care.
You know, I would be interested in that as well.
Hey.
If you pre-order Killzone 2 on Amazon.com, you will receive home pieces of clothing to fully outfit your character as either a Hellgas soldier or a trooper from the ISA. Great. That's all we need is a bunch of those running around home dancing.
Yeah. Doing the robot.
Oh, this is interesting. A source has told VG247 that a Traveler's Tale's next LEGO game will be Lego Rock Band.
Give me a break. What the hell?
I call that epic fail.
What the hell do you do? Do you like?
What's the difference?
Do you build your own notes?
Yeah, there's a bunch of hair metal band characters run around Legos.
Dude, if I could play as like the dude from Poison,
Bret Michaels.
No, the other one, CC DeVille.
Oh, CC DeVille.
If I could just run around as CC DeVille, like attacking like groupies, I might play that game.
I don't know. I don't think
he was attacking them.
I call
it. That's what my mom told me.
Those monkeys are fighting each other.
I call that epic fail. That's a stupid idea, in my opinion.
There's a possibility of 3 new Pixel Junk games this year. So, obviously, they understand the success and they're capitalizing on it.
Yes.
Microsoft has released a military appreciation bundle that includes a 60-gig hard drive, Lego Indiana Jones, Kung Fu Panda, and Blue Dragon.
What does Blue Dragon, Kung Fu Panda, and Indiana Jones have to do with military appreciation?
Well, Lego Indiana Jones and Kung Fu Panda already came with the system, so...
Now you get Blue Dragon.
Now you get Blue Dragon for free. That's only available, I think, though, at the PX on military basis.
Oh, really? Guess. Oh, okay. It's 4 military.
Yeah, it's 4 military.
Yeah, it's not like a military bundle, because then that would come with like Call of Duty.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that it'd be like, because military appreciation, I thought it was like for the appreciation, but for civilians.
No. It's for military personnel.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense.
Basically,
now,
it's the same as the regular pro system. They're just throwing in Blue Dragon for free, but you can only get it on the PX at military basis.
Tell you the truth, I think that's pretty cool, because you know if you're in the military, you know, you're used to seeing, you know, grim imagery, you know, and then when it comes to the military uniforms, green, you know, the camouflage, you know, the gray, and in terms of
he wants bright colors for the military.
Yes, exactly. It's like give our troops some bright colors to see, you know.
I'll definitely get that with Kung Fu Panda.
Heck yeah, I'm all for that. So that's good. That's good.
The Skate 2 demo will be up on January 8th, so you'll be able to try that out this week. And the leaked January DLC Rock Band list consists of some Roy Orbison, looks like a 5-pack, Lenny Kravitz, looks like a 4-pack, and then a Steve Miller 2-pack featuring the Space Cowboy and the Joker. Not the Heath Ledger.
Wait.
The Joker.
I thought the Joker was the Space Cowboy.
Yeah, I thought that was the same song.
I don't know.
But apparently I'm wrong.
Apparently you don't know. And that's okay, because I don't either.
And knowing is half.
It is half the battle.
And we have a brand new question thread.
Yeah.
Yes. New for 09.
It's fresh.
It's
fresh.
We
like it.
It's fresh. It's delicious. And our first question comes from Neon, and this was pretty much a obvious question.
Yep. Hey, guess what? You get the first question of the new year.
Of the new year.
How cool is that?
What was the best Christmas present you each received?
To you, Gambus. You're first.
It's me?
The
best present, of course, is just being around people
that
love and appreciate you and spend time with friends and on the New Year's family.
I think I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
Me too.
What the world needs now is love.
Sweet love.
Okay. Anyways, go ahead.
And yeah, that's about it.
I got the Dark Knight on Blu-ray.
You got the Dark Knit?
I got the Dark Knit. I got the Dark Knight on Blu-ray.
Got the Dark Knit sweater.
That was probably my best Christmas present. I also got an electric drill, which was also a really good Christmas present.
Really? You got a drill?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's a drill and an electric screwdriver all at once. Because we're redoing our bathroom, so we need it.
Comes
See, that's
handy.
When you know you get old. You stop getting toys and clothes, and you start getting tools.
Yeah. Tools are cool, though.
That's when you know that, like, you got to grow up now.
I enjoy
you
tools.
You
got
to turn into Bob Vila and shit.
You're a tool.
I am
Bob
a tool.
Vila.
Fucking Bob Vila.
What'd you get? What's your best Christmas present?
My best Christmas present, Gamba stole mine, was spending time with the family.
Man, I'm sorry.
But if I had to take a monetary present, it would be my Blu-ray copy of Forbidden Kingdom.
Forbidden Kingdom. That was a great movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's awesome on the Blu-rays.
That movie was a fun movie.
Yeah, it's a very fun movie. Yeah. And, of course, what is our your New Year's resolution?
Well, this year's New Year's resolution, I decided to be a rebel.
Uh-oh.
We're the rebel, yeah. And we got mo. And my New Year's resolution for this year is... no resolution.
Da, da, da.
Yes.
Oh, snap. This is all about it today.
Anything is fair game.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
May the chips fall where they may. That's my New Year's resolution right there.
All right.
My New Year's resolution is to stop eating out so damn much. So we can save up money.
That's a good one.
And hopefully go to Hawaii this year.
Oh, snap.
Which is a New Year's resolution.
Now, that is a good New Year's resolution.
My one New Year's resolution was to finish the bathroom, and we're almost done with that. So I'm coming up on 1-1. So we'll see. Or 1-0, I mean.
Hawaii, man. Talk about getting away.
Yeah.
There you go.
Talk about dropping a pretty penny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It costs like $45 just to walk off the plane.
Well, the nice thing is my aunt and uncle own a timeshare in Hawaii, and their initial plan was to let us use that as our wedding present for our honeymoon, but that didn't work out. So they told us last time we were around them that they still owe us a honeymoon. So maybe I can convince them to let us use the timeshare, and we'll save a little money, but. We'll see. That's my goal for the year is to go to Hawaii, but we'll see.
That sounds like a plan.
And you?
My New Year's resolution, first and foremost, is to get a house.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then, of course, to also deliver on all the promises I made for the holidays for the site, which was the new site design and the changing of the guard to make us the best show on the web.
There you go. You're changing us out?
I'm not changing you. You gotta do that. You gotta do that yourself now.
You getting rid of Gambus?
No.
Oh.
Shh, don't tell him about it yet. This comes from DeHalo Fiend. He says, Happy New Year, N4G crew, and more to come. What would the crew say if Gambus came into the N4G studio as a giant chicken?
Again?
I'd be like, that is fucking awesome.
That would be awesome.
I'm taking a picture right now.
That'd be pretty much the awesomest thing ever.
It might be. It might be the awesomest thing. We're giving you hints here. You should do this.
You should definitely
you know
do some this.
Dance that, up as a giant
that,
chicken.
I think that would be clucking awesome.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's almost as bad as the your mama joke you
that
told
is.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Name 4 Street Fighter Alpha 3 characters who appear in the final fight, the SNES Brawler final fight.
It's Cody, Guy, Hagar.
Is Hagar in Alpha?
No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's in Final Fight. I'm just naming people from Final Fight.
Guy and Cody are in it.
Yeah, Guy and Cody are definitely in it for sure. And Rose.
Rose.
Saddam.
Sodom.
There you go. Sodom.
There you go. See? Don't question my knowledge.
It was actually our combined knowledge.
Hagar was in Saturday Night Slam Masters.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, he was. Yeah, I remember that.
What's the best party game the crew ever played?
I think Rock Band's the best party game I've ever played, honestly.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
It seems to be the winner. The winner is you.
That's what I said. I was telling my wife last night as we were leaving Applebee's. I said, what did parties ever do without Rock Band?
Does the crew think that the Streets of Rage series needs to be brought back to a next-gen console?
Yeah, maybe.
Here's my answer, and it depends solely on the fact that it's Sega. After Golden Axe, fuck no, leave it alone.
It's kind of interesting about this question because in I think it was about two issues of Play Magazine ago, there was an
article.
They gave
it a 10 out of 10?
Yes, they did. they actually gave it an 11
out of 10.
They said it was too good.
Dave Halverson said you were stupid if you don't agree.
But there was an article about...
Dave Halverson said it healed his blindness.
There's an internet version of Streets of Rage that was created that has graphical updates. Basically, the sprites are more detailed and are like basically high def.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Streets of Rage Remixed... I think it's called Remixed, but they redid the whole game with vastly improved graphics.
I could have swore you were going to say Vaseline.
Vaseline. They improved it. They improved it with Vaseline. But I guess that's probably the only next gen version that will probably be coming out, and probably should come out.
I'd like to see actually. The whole
not by the same team by that did freaking Golden Axe.
Right.
No,
I'd like to see the Street Fighter HD thing catch on, and I'd like to see old series have new games made, not remakes, but new games made in that art style.
You know, we would only get one game every 2 years.
Well, I know, but I think Battletoads would be really cool in that kind of like high def cartoon style.
That should be Rare's next project.
I think Double Dragon would be a new Double Dragon in HD with that kind of art style would be pretty awesome.
That would be cool.
And I know this won't happen because they're obsessed with 3D now, but I'd love a new old school Ninja Gaiden in that HD.
Well, Itagaki's not making it anymore. So
yeah, but that I mean it's so they Ninja Gaiden stuck in 3D from now till ever.
Probably. Till ever.
Till ever.
Till ever.
Till 4D catches on.
To the end of the world.
What are you talking about? 4D's have been here.
It actually has.
Yeah, we've been
for 2 years,
we've
man.
We've been time traveling.
Blu-ray. Motorstorm has 4D.
Blu-ray.
It's 4D. So good that it came from the future.
No. 4D just means progression of time. So, like, if the car gets muddier over time, then that's technically 4D.
Shut up.
See?
Yeah, it was developed by Albert Einstein.
It was developed by Doc Brown.
From the future.
Marty! Marty! 1.21 gigawatt! All right, what character does the crew think is the best in Street Fighter?
I like Ryu and Blanca. Those are my two.
I like Ken and Rolento.
I like... Ryu and Chun-Li.
Why does everybody have a fireball character?
Because, dude. Street Fighter. I also like Sagat.
I like Sagat. I do like Sagat.
He's another favorite of mine.
And, of course, I'm an Akuma player when I can be.
Akuma. And the thing is, every once in a while, I'll dabble with M. Bison.
Bison's good.
Yeah.
You know who I actually liked in Street Fighter 3 was, I don't even remember his name now, why can't I remember his name now? The dude that's kind of like, he's on roller skates. What's his name? He's not on roller skates. Different game. He's the, it's the guy, I can't remember his name now.
Are we thinking fighting vipers with the roller
skates? No, the roller skates thing was completely, completely unrelated.
So what does this guy look like?
You know what? Scratch it. I can't remember his name. Fuck it. Move on.
What's his
name? I'm never going to remember his
name. Was his name Adon?
No.
Oh.
I'm never going to remember his name, so just move past it. It's been like 3 years since I played Street Fighter 3, so.
What is the funniest complaint that you guys hear from an online game? My funniest complaint is when I play Street Fighter and they tell me I'm cheating. And I'm like,
You're glitching.
How am I cheating when that move is in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's irritating.
That's my only negative feedback.
Crappiest complaint. I don't know. Basically, little kids who like to curse you out. That's my biggest complaint.
Yeah. That's pretty much my biggest complaint, too, I think.
I almost feel like saying, hey, could you get your parent on the mic? And then I can give them a few choice of words.
I'm going to have to go home and put Anniversary Collection into my system just so I can see what this dude's name is.
It's going to drive you crazy.
It is going to drive me crazy.
What is your worst-case scenario in gaming? I already mentioned mine earlier. Wasting time.
Worst-case scenario in gaming? So are we talking about in terms of gaming culture or actual something that happens in the game?
Do you think the Halo Fiend's going to answer you?
I think worst-case scenario in gaming is the situation that Zero described where you play a game for an hour and then die and you forgot to save.
Yep. I hate that shit.
Oh, I got one. The Red Ring of Death.
Indeed.
That's my worst case scenario. It's more of a hardware problem than than actual gameplay problem.
What are you talking about? It's not real. It's a myth.
It's fabricated.
It's an urban legend.
But in terms of actual gameplay, I would probably say Escort Mission.
Ugh. Why do these keep being in games?
Yeah.
That's pretty much the worst.
What is the funniest game that you've ever heard?
I don't know. Booger Man.
There's not a whole lot of funny games.
Psychonauts was actually legitimately funny. The game itself was legitimately funny. What else?
In terms of, like, actual plot being funny,
Grim Fandango was pretty funny.
Disgaea is pretty funny. It's got a lot of dark humor.
I thought Raised as Hell was funny.
I haven't played that one.
Just because it's a bunch of cute little creatures killing aliens.
Yeah.
Oh. Interesting.
Let's see. There's got to be something else that's funny that I can think of off the top of my head.
I don't have one.
Yeah.
Oh, what was Armed and Dangerous was funny.
Worms is funny.
Worms is funny.
Oh, no. I still laugh every time I hear that. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You got a little buzzing going on in the headset.
Yeah.
Must be Killer Wolverine.
Yeah, it's the 10-foot bee that stung Killer Wolverine.
Oh, shit. Run.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If I saw a 10-foot bee, I would probably...
Cry? Scream?
Something.
Melt?
Probably.
All right. Next question comes from Austin SJ. He says, at how many beers does gaming function start to become seriously impaired? And I'm not talking about pouring beers onto the console either.
That would be a question better answered by somebody other than me. So
I actually get better at games the more I drink.
You would.
You're the drunken master.
I am the drunken master of gaming. Like, I get crazy good when I'm drunk. Because when you drink, it, like, lifts your inhibitions, and you don't care as much. So you're not focusing on anything. So you can, like... I know the Boogeyman has a story about he has a score in Crazy Taxi that he achieved when he was wasted, and he's not been able to match it since. I get really funky on the drums when I'm drunk at Rock Band.
Cool.
So... That's a lesson to everybody out there. Get drunk when you want to play games. You get higher scores. What do you think all the guys at the top of the leaderboard do? They're alcoholics.
Probably. Think so.
Yeah. That does make sense.
All right. Next set of questions comes from Cryus.
Hey, Cryus.
He says, hey, crew, I have a banned 360, so I can't go online. Damn leaked NXE. But since I don't give a damn about multiplayer, the only thing bothering me is my gamer score with my achievements, because I've gained about 3,000 points offline. So if I take my old hard drive, put it on my new bought arcade 360, and then go online, will my achievements and gamer score be updated? Yes.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Because if that wasn't the case, there would be a lot of people starting over with gamer score and achievements because of Red Ring.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they ban your system or do they ban the gamer tag.
I don't know.
It might be the system. I don't know.
I never had the pleasure.
PSN and Xbox Live, which do you think is better? And what makes you say that?
Xbox Live.
What makes you say that?
Everything's integrated.
Yeah, that's my answer.
It does definitely feel more seamless.
Yeah, because with PlayStation Network games, every game that you go online with, it feels like a separate online system.
Oh, and Sean is the character from Street Fighter 3 that I like.
Ah!
There you go.
Sean.
Is he the one with the...
He's the Brazilian
guy. The basketball.
The basketball guy.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like him.
Who do you enjoy watching more, Angry Video Game Nerd or Zero Punctuation, and what do you think of them? I hate the Angry Video Game Nerd, but I think Zero Punctuation is hilarious.
Yeah, Zero Punctuation is hilarious. I've never actually watched Angry Video Game Nerd, to be honest with you. But
isn't he the one that did the Final Fantasy? Isn't that him?
No, it's a different guy.
Is it really? I've watched the Angry Video Game Nerd. He's very similar.
No, I've never watched Angry Video Game Nerd, but I think Zero Punctuation is hilarious. Yeah, I think he's very, very funny.
The Angry Video Game Nerd did the Contra one, I think. I watched on Game Trailers, and that was just... He's just stupid. He just complains about old games now.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Zero Punctuation's funny because he's relevant, and people take him seriously, and he just rips everything.
Right.
And it's hilarious. And his little videos with the little stick figures and stuff, it's just fucking awesome.
And it's quite brilliant and quite intelligent. In a poop and fart kind of way.
Wow.
I liked Uncharted. That's good. Everybody should have.
Should have liked Uncharted. It's a fantastic game.
But will this IP become as famous as like Tomb Raider, or will it have only a few more sequels? Being a Naughty Dog franchise, my guess would be two more sequels and they're done.
Right.
Unfortunately. Because that's the way Naughty Dog seems to run
but,
the series.
I mean, that can be a good thing, too. The fact, I mean, if they limit it to two games, it means they don't wear out any ideas and you don't have to worry about the series taking a nosedive like it did with Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
So I think honestly, for most game series, if we're not talking about a racing game or we're not talking about a sports game, if you're talking about an actual, like, story-driven game, 3 is probably close to the limit.
Yeah, that's usually where it hits the sweet spot.
The only series, and I'm biased, that I think sort of sets itself apart from that is the Legacy of Kain series, and that's just because there's two separate main characters, so...
Yeah, but let's not talk about Blood Omen 2.
Yeah, Blood Omen 2 was not that good.
That game was terrible.
It wasn't terrible, but it was not that good.
Awful game. I hated that game. A lot of 360 games are region locked.
Yep.
Every PS3 game is region free.
Yep.
So it's very handy to take your PS3 games or console with you to another country and play it there without any worries of what region you are.
Or import.
Is this problem going to repeat itself with Xbox 3?
Probably so, but I hope not.
The thing is about PS3 taking your console to another country, if you take it to the United States and Japan and back and forth again, you probably won't have much of a problem, but if you're going between United States and a European country, you could run into a problem with the PAL system.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't see a point in having 360 region free because I don't have any good games except in America.
I mean, yeah, that's the that's the other thing is there's not a whole lot of region specific games for the 360 at this point.
You can just get games earlier in Europe and America, but the Japanese market, I mean, what's there like 10 games? That are only in Japan?
I don't know, but...
it's not a lot.
Thing is, I would like to have region-free system. I think that's...
I agree.
I think it's a great thing. I do. I just don't... 360 doesn't really warrant it as much as the PS3 does.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the region-free thing.
Yeah, which kind of sucks. Isn't the DSi not region-free, or which one was it?
I think DSi is not region-free.
That's the newest one, right?
The newest one,
yeah. That's the one that's not region free. I get all the friggin' DS's confused.
The thing is, when the DSi comes out, I'll probably pick that up, but I'm definitely going to still keep my regular DS so I can still play import games.
All right, next one. I have a 360 and a PS3, but I like the PS3 a lot more. The thing bothering me is that the damn PS3 controller. It's so frustrating to play a racing game when your finger suddenly slips from the damn triggers and you crash. or when you're playing some shooter with those uncomfortable analog sticks. Do you think the next PlayStation controller design is going to change? No!
I thought it would change for this gen, and it didn't.
It's going to be the exact same controller.
You know, for Super Stardust HD, I found my thumbs were constantly slipping on the analog sticks, and I never have that problem with the 360.
I do think they'll change the triggers.
Those triggers are awful.
You know what's funny is I like the give that the triggers have, but I hate their shape.
I don't like, because your finger doesn't rest on them nice.
Right.
Like the 360 one where they hold down. And the analog sticks are so much better on the 360. The PS3 has a better D-pad by far.
Yes. Yeah.
I like the fact that the 360's analog sticks are offset. I'm a big fan of offset analog sticks, but I don't know. I hope that Sony makes a couple changes to the DualShock next gen, but we'll see.
Yeah, the thing is, with more modernistic gaming, I think the 360
modernistic
has a superior controller in terms of first-person shooters, third-person shooters, action adventure games,
racing,
sports games, pretty much almost every major genre, the 360 has a superior controller. But when it comes to 2D fighters or 3D fighters or any type of fighter that you would want to use a D-pad, I would say that
old school platforming,
old school platforming, basically simplistically put. The PlayStation controller is kind of stuck in the past. So when you make a game that controls like a retro game, the PS3 controller is better for that type of game.
All right, next question. I have an opportunity to buy a few new standard edition PS3 or 360 games a little cheaper for about $80 instead of $110.
Wow.
That's how it is in Lithuania.
That's pretty expensive.
But they are with German cases and manuals. I understand a little bit of German, but I hate it. I know that you are playing the disc, not the cover, but still, if you had the opportunity to buy new PS3 or 360 games a little cheaper with a French, German, or Spanish cover, would you do it?
No.
My anal retentiveness says no.
No, and not, I mean, just purely from a cosmetic standpoint, because I don't really want the, I'd much rather my case be in English. Just because every other case on my shelf is in English.
I know. It throws everything out of whack. It's my anality. I can't help it.
Thing is, if the 360 was region-free, I'd probably have a couple Japanese games in my collection because, I don't know, it'd look cool, I guess.
The PS3 version of Tomb Raider Underworld is visually superior and looks a lot better. I didn't see a big difference, but that's just me.
I haven't seen it, so.
What about the DLC? Is it really going to stay exclusive to the 360? Yes.
That's the plan.
Because that's what they paid for. So. Unfortunately, that's the way the world works now. There's no more exclusive games. There's exclusive content.
Yeah. It's all about the content.
It sucks, but it's the way they're going to start doing it from now on.
And now it looks like the downloadable content for Mirror's Edge is going to be coming out for both systems now.
Good.
Yeah.
I think it all should be across all the systems.
Yep.
I think the PS3 should get the GTA content, too, but you know that's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, that's definitely not going to happen.
Fahrenheit 2 is being developed by Quantic Dream and is set for 2009 release. Do you believe that this company will really be able to release Heavy Rain and Fahrenheit 2 in the same year, or do you think the game will be pushed to 2010?
No.
I didn't. That's the first I've actually heard of Fahrenheit 2. I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah,
I assume they were solely working on Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain probably come out toward the end of this year. Fahrenheit 2, if they're really making it, I haven't even heard that they were making a part 2. But if they're making a part 2, and if it's going to look anything, you know, close to like Heavy Rain in terms of graphics, which I would assume that it would, it's not going to get pushed back to 2010. It's going to get pushed back to at least 2011.
Well, my philosophy here is, how many games have these guys done?
Just a couple.
And how long have they been doing games?
A while.
So you're not going to see two games from the same team in the same year.
Heck no. It's going to be at least 2011, And that's going to be probably their first release date. And then it's going to get pushed back to 2012. And
I'm
going to
tell you right now that Heavy Rain will not make it this year.
You don't think so?
I don't think it will.
I'm thinking it might.
I think it's got a chance to make it late in the year.
It might make a holiday release.
They've shown enough of it now that I can believe that they can come out with it at the end of the year.
I still don't buy it.
And while we're talking about, you know, release dates and games coming out in 2009, there's people saying Final Fantasy 13, you know, going to be the best game of 2009, you know,
it's
something.
It's not going to be out in 2009 in America.
It might be in Japan.
It should be in Japan.
If you enjoy reading Japanese, if you can read Japanese, then yes, it might be one of your best games of 2009. But in terms of actual domestic release, it won't be out until next year.
Yep. I say holiday release of 2010 for Final Fantasy 13.
Or at least
I can buy that.
Or at least late summer. Like maybe around a September-ish
release.
I could see
August or September.
Yeah. And the last question is, No One Lives Forever 2, A Spy in Harm's Way, was an incredibly good game in 2002.
Both of the No One Lives Forever games were pretty good.
The game was developed by Monolith Productions, but now Monolith are working on Fear 2. Is it possible that we'll see a sequel, or will someone buy the license? Considering how old that game is and it's never got a sequel.
Well, the other problem is that game was sort of around the same time the Austin Powers craze was going on. And considering that IP is sort of dead, I don't imagine that you'll see a return to No One Lives Forever.
No, Monolith fought hard to get the Fear license back.
Yeah,
because originally they didn't have it. But
the No One Lives Forever games were both good, though. If you can find them anywhere, I'd recommend picking them up.
They should release like a double pack. Get them both on the PC.
They should.
Or get them on Steam.
Yeah,
there you go. All right, next question is from Metal Gamer.
Yeah.
He says, "Hey crew, what music genre do you guys favor?"
Well, mine's probably the most fruitiest out of the three of us.
Yeah.
I like
fruit.
I like fruity music. I like
Fruity Loops.
Electronic music. I got in dance.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry
you
for
demonstrating.
Somebody scream. I'll scream.
I got into electronic music because of video games, to be quite honest.
Oh, place to stay.
Yes.
Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day.
Oh, Technotronic.
Oh, yeah.
Snap.
Pump up the jam.
Takes me back to 8th grade skating party.
Yeah, it takes me back to when I was...
Takes you back to 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
When you were jamming to it on the way into the podcast this morning.
Takes me back to freaking Ninja Turtles.
Oh,
because they had a song in the Ninja Turtles movie.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. So did Vanilla Ice.
Yeah. Yes.
The second one.
Oh, in the second one, yeah.
Yeah.
So
Ninja, rap.
Go Ninja, go Ninja,
but
go.
In terms of genres, I like, of course, electronic. I like classic rock. I like a little bit of disco.
Wait, did you just say that?
Did you just say disco?
Disco?
Just a little bit.
Like late
70s disco when it was turning into electronica. But
Wow.
Whoa.
Do you have a leisure suit somewhere at your house?
I like a little bit of R&B.
He glossed over that.
I'm going to piss on you. Drip, drip, drip. Pee on you. Piss on you.
Every once in a while, I'll listen to some heavy metal. Sometimes I like contemporary rock, kind of like maybe a little bit of Fleetwood Mac. I like
if you don't love me now.
Yeah. I like all kinds of weird music that have nothing to do with each other. But I appreciate certain music. I tell you the type of music I don't like, and that's, of course, you know, like your typical top 40 stuff. But I do like, I'm going to get burned at the stake for this, I know. I do like
worse than disco?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I do like the new Britney Spears song, Womanizer. For some reason, Womanizer, just the way that that song flows, I like it. And I'm not a fan of Britney Spears or anything like that.
I thought you were going to say something
else. yeah.
I seriously thought you were going to say something else.
Like I would say that. I'm not that much into Britney Spears, but I like that single Womanizer song.
Sing it for me.
No.
Damn it.
No. That's but, awesome.
Yeah.
Big ups to you, Gamers.
Thing is, I got a lot of music CDs, and if anybody views my music CDs, they'd probably be both either fascinated or scared out of their minds.
Probably a combination of both.
Yes.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, so that's me. Okay, well, what are you guys like?
I listen to a lot of different stuff, but I primarily listen to country music. Shut up.
What?
But I don't like... I
feel better all of a sudden.
But I don't like...
I feel like a great weight has been lifted from my
soul. I don't
soul.
Like top 40 country. I don't like pop country that's on the radio now.
Yeah.
I like people like Lyle Lovett and Dwight Yoakam and bands like Reckless Kelly. I also like vocal music. I don't even know how else to put it. Sort of like big band standard stuff like Sinatra, Dean Martin. I like that kind of stuff too. And then I like rock to an extent. Depends on the band when it gets to rock and classic rock. I like most classic rock, but really depends on the band. And I like southern rock. Once again, depends on the band.
You like Georgia Satellite?
Yes, I do actually like Georgia Satellites.
I'm impressed I knew that.
So most of the music I listen to is
twang,
country music. I like bluegrass too.
Bluegrass is crazy.
Bluegrass is awesome.
That's like punk rock for country.
Yes.
Basically.
It's really fast.
It's like thrash metal for country.
It is. Except you can understand them.
Right.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Like Bob Dylan over here. See, me, I'm pretty much straight rock. Like heavy metal. Like punk rock. And I like regular rock.
I like some punk rock. I have a couple punk rock CDs, but I don't get into it like you do.
I don't like the, you know what's funny is I don't like the underground shit. The people like, you get on the forums, they're like, this is real punk rock. I don't like that shit. The shit you can't understand. You know, I like NoFX and Bad Religion and, you know, MXPX and No Use for a Name. Stuff like that.
MXPX is the several punk CDs that I own are MXPX. Yeah.
I really like Rise
if
Against.
If people consider, I mean, I guaranteed tomorrow we'll have 30 people saying they're all punk band, but you know,
punk
I don't
band.
Care. I classify them as punk, so they're punk.
But then I also like, you know, like crazy rock, like Tool.
Ugh.
I love Tool.
I hate Tool.
Well, yes, you are a Tool.
You are a Tool.
Twang.
Didn't we already have this conversation?
We did.
Decided that you were a Tool.
No, you were a Tool. And you want an embarrassing one for me? I like Rush.
You want an embarrassing one for me that most people probably think is embarrassing? I like Billy Joel. So.
Britney Spears, Billy Joel, and Rush.
Yeah. Mm. What do you think of that? That would have been a better question, actually. Well, not a better question, because his question was a good one, because it led to all
your
this
most
discussion.
Embarrassing music.
But, yeah, what's your most embarrassing music that you enjoy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Britney Spears.
Also have a pretty good collection of video game soundtracks as well.
There you go.
I got a lot of music CDs, man.
I do, too. I used to have even more. I worked at a record store forever, so I had a lot more music than I have now. But
all right. And I think we got time for one more.
Let's do it.
This one comes from Are You Joshin? 2009.
He's the most Joshin.
Once this time and date seemed to be Tay Future.
Tay Future.
Now, or by the time this podcast airs, it will be Tay Present.
Yes.
I would like to hear, again, if applicable, a summary of things and gizmos you would all like to see in the next gen, and of course, why. Answers in the hard and soft.
I'm actually looking forward to this this 3D thing that they're talking about.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some games in 3D.
Wouldn't be interesting.
And by 3D, I don't mean 3D like we have now. I mean the actual 3D where it looks like it's coming out of the screen.
You get some of those glasses, man.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah. Yours is a good one. Yours is a really
That's a good one.
That's a good one. I don't have another one.
Yeah, I would say terabyte hard drives.
Man, you're all about the terabyte.
You're all about
hard
the space, yeah. man. You're all about the storage. You just love to say terabyte.
Terabyte.
I think is the long and the short of it.
Terabyte hard drives. Oh, here is a new or next gen concept that I hope is a bullet point on all the new next gen systems.
You should see his eyes right now.
Yes, my eyes are very large because this is a good idea.
What's that?
Actual hardware quality.
You know what? I was going to say the same thing. I'd love to see in the next gen a console from Microsoft that works most of the time.
Yeah. Have a bullet point.
Hey, we got it this gen with the PlayStation 3.
That's true. Not from Microsoft, but we did get a console that works.
I think it'd be two times that it didn't.
I think it'd be
we had one last gen, too. It was called the Nintendo GameCube.
That one worked.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
We had a system that worked last gen called the GameCube.
Yeah, but Nintendo's never had a problem.
Yeah.
Well, so we don't even
talk
about
that. That's not true. The NES was a big pain in the ass.
But after like 10 years.
Right.
Yeah, but that wasn't really a overheating problem. That was a dust problem.
Well, that was the PlayStation 2's problem, too, was a dust problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, PS2 was dust and overheating.
Speaking of which, I have a PS2 at my house that I told a friend of ours that I would try and repair for them. Yeah. It's got the old doesn't read certain discs, but does read certain discs.
I remember that.
That fun problem.
Good luck with that.
So, yeah, functioning hardware is a great idea. I'd love to see Microsoft put that at the very top of their list for next gen.
I'm sure they're not going to make that mistake twice.
Yeah. One would hope.
Sony did. I don't know.
Yeah,
two
but
back-to-back.
They sure as hell didn't make it three times.
No, that's for damn sure.
PS3 is solid.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. System reliability. Now, that is a next-gen concept.
For me, faster wireless internet.
Yeah.
Wireless is so spotty as it is. I'd like to see it a lot more stable.
And I'd like to have a hoverboard, too. I know it's not game-related, but I just want a hoverboard.
Mattel's got so much to prototype, ask? You know? They don't work right. They're broken.
Your mom don't work right.
She never has.
Of course, the next gen systems wouldn't be complete without everything being ergonomically designed.
Ergonomically designed.
Ergonomically. Maybe a new controller concept that's not the Wii. You know, but it's more of a traditional controller, but with an innovative twang
with a twist.
Yeah, how can a word like ergonomic that means tailored to your body to make it more comfortable be so damn uncomfortable to say?
Ergonomic.
Yeah.
It's so unwieldy.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Some sort of gurgling noise.
All right. Also, when you step back from the console war and think about what's going to happen in 2009, what kind of expectations do you have? Do you expect a lot of unannounced titles to hit the shelves this year, or are you holding your breath for announced titles?
I think you're going to see a lot of both.
Killer Instinct. 2009's the year.
Hold on to that dream.
I've been dreaming it since the beginning of this fucking show.
I do think that both major companies, and I'm sure Nintendo too, but both Sony and Microsoft have
Nintendo,
big things in the works that we don't know about.
Nintendo has to have big announcements because that's all they have.
Although they got Wii Sports Resort coming out, which I don't care. You guys can make fun of me if you want. I'm excited for Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too, but it's not one of those oh my god titles. That's what I want from Nintendo. I want a new Zelda.
But you know it's
going to
be their best-selling game next year.
Yeah.
Does it come with a remote?
Probably, the Wii Plus thing.
And it'll probably be the next game that my parents pick up.
See, that's a problem. That's the problem.
That's the problem. My 60-year-old dad.
Are you doing the electric slide?
No, I'm just dancing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my 60-year-old dad got into gaming because of Wii.
Damn you, Nintendo!
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thing.
I don't know. There's too much stuff in the beginning of the year that I'm looking forward to think about the unannounced titles.
Yeah,
because when they announce the new titles, I'm going to go insane. Is Alan Wake going to be this year?
Good question. Dude, that game's never coming out.
Alan Wake.
Alan Wake is the new Duke Nukem Forever. And it'll probably come out at the same time, 12 years
When that game finally comes out, we're just going to be like, we waited for this.
I think it's going to be awesome.
Everybody's going to be like, it looks so last gen.
No, I don't think so.
People are going to be like, Heavy Rain looks so much better. And Heavy Rain has been out for like 5 years
now. We're supposed to step outside of the console war.
Yeah.
So step back, brother.
No, I'm just talking about games, man.
I'm just talking about Shaft.
I'm just talking about it. Watch your mouth.
It'll be like this. People will be like, Heavy Rain's been out for like 5 years now. And Alan Wake will finally come out, and it won't look as good as Heavy Rain.
I hope Alan Wake comes out this year.
That's my future prediction.
I'm tired of getting excited for Alan Wake and then it never coming out.
I've stopped getting excited for it.
Yeah, I stopped.
When it comes out, it'll be awesome, but until then, I'm not getting excited for it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. How hefty of a toll has reviewing games taken on thyselves? I guess you won't be answering this.
Yeah,
right?
I won't be answering.
Not very hefty.
Yeah, you haven't had to review as much crap as I have.
That's true.
Last game I reviewed was, I think, N Plus, and that was about, a year ago?
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while.
I enjoy reviewing games. It doesn't really take a toll on me.
I enjoy reviewing them, but I hate when I have, like, a stack of crap.
Yeah.
That I have to play through, and especially during the holiday season, because then I don't get to play the really good shit until I get through all the crap.
Yeah. Yeah, but it makes you appreciate the good stuff more.
Oh, yeah. Once I finally got into Saints Row, I was so excited to actually play it because I'd been sitting around playing all this movie fodder and kiddie games. Although sometimes you get surprised. It's called Kung Fu Panda.
It's true.
You should play it.
Oh, yeah.
It was an awesome game. And what's your favorite game of all time?
Oh, man, you got to be kidding me.
That's easy. Metal Gear Solid.
Mine is a tie between Morrowind and Legacy of Kain: Blood Omen, the first one.
Let's see here. I would say it would be a combination.
Combo.
Combo breaker.
Okay, it'd be a combination of this. Imagine, if you will.
Wait, are you making up a game?
No.
Oh.
No.
I was going to say, you can't make up a game and call it your favorite game of all time.
My favorite games of all time.
Games.
Okay. It'd be a collaboration between Castlevania, Symphony of the Night, Super Metroid, Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy VII, Chrono Trigger,
man.
Strider.
Jeez.
The arcade game.
Christ, man.
Your favorite 30 games of all time.
Street Fighter 2 and Metal Gear Solid 4.
Good God almighty.
Street Fighter 2 is another one on my
list. That's like my conglomerate of best games of all time. I can't just name one.
I also am a huge fan, and probably only six people in our entire listening audience. Oh, wait, we've only got seven people listening anyway. Probably only four people in our entire listening audience will have ever even heard of this game. But Ultima Underworld on the PC is another of my favorites.
Hmm.
It was the first
first-person
RPG.
I remember reading about that game.
It's a good game.
See, my other ones are Mortal Kombat 2 and Street Fighter Alpha 3.
It's a good one.
And StarCraft.
It's a good one.
And StarCraft.
How can you forget the craft? It's one of the longest played games I've ever played. I've been playing for 10 years now.
And it still stands the test of time.
Indeed it does.
Yes.
It's a glorious game. Oh, yeah, and Mega Man 2.
Yeah, Mega Man 2. And also, I enjoy Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Yeah.
Street Fighter Alpha 3 is like up there.
With me.
Also, Thief. The original Thief and Thief 2, actually, were both really good.
With me, Mega Man is like between 2 and 3.
I love both of those.
2 is my favorite.
I like to think of the first three Mega Man games as the trilogy that are the best Mega Man games, 1, 2, and 3. And to me, 3 just felt like the climax because cause you go through the 8 robot stages, and then afterwards you have to go through 4 more stages that are like remixed versions before you even get to the Dr. Wily stages.
Right.
And I just thought that was pretty sweet.
Yep.
But I think Mega Man 2 was a better toned game. You know, it was smaller than 3, but it was constantly delivering the whole time.
You know, it's another game that was really good.
What's that?
Tekken 3. Tekken 3 was good.
I don't like Tekken.
That was the last Tekken I liked. Tekken 3 was.
I like Tekken 2. And Tekken 3 felt like 2.3.
I like Tekken 3. I enjoyed it.
And then Tekken 4 felt like Tekken 2.8. It's like by the time they get to Tekken 5, it really felt like it should have been a Tekken 3.
Yeah.
I just don't like Tekken.
Yeah.
I like 3. That was the last one. I did not like 4 or 5.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And that wraps up our first show of 2009.
There you
2009.
Go.
2009.
Once again, I'm going to be a crazy shill guy and say, number one, say thank you to the people who responded to my call last time and went on to iTunes and left us comments.
Yes.
I appreciate that very much. And I'm going to ask again, if you have an iTunes account and you haven't gone on and rated our show and left us comments, good or bad, please do so. If you enjoy the show at all, it would really help us out if you guys could do that. So,
thank you
to the people who've done it already, and please more people do so.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Get out there and make your voice heard.
Make your voice heard.
Yeah, and I was reading some of the comments. It was pretty funny. There was one comment that just said, "I got a boner."
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was like, oh, that is an awesome comment.
I saw that.
I'm uncomfortable now in the show. I'm giving people those.
I'm obviously biased, but my favorite comment on iTunes is the 4-star review out of 5 that we got from John McEnroe that simply says, "I'll give it another more wombat, and I'll add another star."
Well, I'm sure you're biased to that.
I mean,
why don't we just have the wombat show?
No, that would not go over well.
He can give you 5 stars.
Me talking to myself for 2 hours, that would not go over well. That's what I call Saturday night.
Sweet.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, so that's the first show of 2009. Hopefully next week we'll be back with the regulars.
Yeah, that's our top 10 list of the year.
We're supposed to be this week.
Got postponed since Mr. Wolverine is under the weather.
Swollen.
Yeah, that damn
hopefully bee. Hopefully he'll be back next week and we'll be able to deliver some game of the year stuff.
Deliver it like pizza.
Hey Wolverine, if you're listening to this, get well, buddy.
He ain't listening to this.
Nah, hell no. Alright, so that's it.
Hell no.
Mr. Khan.
Alrighty. 2009.
She's a sovereign in your mind because they never heal. She's the thief of your heart when you want her to steal. She's the cancer on your brain that drives you insane. She's the one that helps and causes all your pain. She's the truth, she's the lie, the one that makes you cry, makes you happy in the rain. She's the yin to your yang with even all of your faults, to be there when you need her to. Can also be the one who will instantly leave you. Say you're bad when you're good, and you're good when you're bad. She makes you feel hip when you know it's only a fad. She's the cream of your coffee, the sweet of your tea. She's the one that makes you feel both trapped and free. She will laugh at your jokes, make you think that you're clever. And when it's over, she will say that it's forever. Oh,
chicken.
Oh, my God.
I enjoy the taste of a chicken sandwich.
Sandwich.
I love the fresh, juicy chicken on a chicken sandwich.
What the heck is that?
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa doesn't eat chicken sandwiches.
I would like for you to be quiet and listen to me for a second. I feel like I have something very important that I need to share with you. With you.
Winners go home and eat the chicken sandwich. That's what I'm talking about. Have the chicken sandwich.
That's the Chicago way.
It's delicious.
I like the chicken sandwich.
I like chicken. Give me the sandwich. Do it now.
Must have the chicken sandwich. Must have the tasty, the juicy, the chicken sandwich.
That's funny.
Why does everybody have a chicken sandwich now? That's crazy.
I don't know.
This seemed like a great thing to have. I went down to the general store the other day and bought me a shredded chicken sandwich. Let me tell you, that was about the best chicken sandwich I ever had in my goddamn life.
Don't nobody go down that road.
That road.
That road's bad. Don't go down that road. You gotta bury your own.
Bury your own.
You gotta bury your own.
He's like Forrest Gump. You got to bury your own.
You got to bury your own.
And then when they come out, they got magic shoes.
They got
magic shoes.
Mama said they'd take me anywhere.
She said that was my magic shoes.
Mama said that chicken sandwiches were... chicken sandwiches were made out of...
Stop it!
My mama said chicken sandwiches were... made out of magic chickens.
What?